the Joey attention. We call that Joey's emotional support human.
Where's my garlic bread?
Hello everybody and welcome back to my podcast, Esme's Country Life. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about how Joey has damaged yet another fence. My mum's friend probably thinks I've got some weird bum problems. And also, we have some new family members, we've got some new pets, so I'm going to be talking all about that. But before we begin, I just want to say a huge thank you to the sponsor of the podcast, RedPost. RedPost is an equestrian and country store based in the UK, but they also ship all over the world. Also, guys, right now, I think I can officially say we're now in March, it's spring, and one of the reasons, I know people are going to be like, but it's not until the 21st that it's properly spring. I feel like I'm a glass half full kind of gal. I'm going to say it's spring now. That's, you know, it depends what which way you want to go, but I'm going to say it's March. It's spring. I'm ready for spring. But also, with spring around the corner, that does mean that people are going to be thinking a little bit more about the show season. You eventers out there are going to be thinking about competing a little bit more. So that's all very exciting. Also, just wanted to say, for anybody that rides in a body protector, if you're an eventer or do pony club, the body protector safety standards have changed recently. So I'd recommend making sure that your body protectors are up to date, because I'd hate for any of you guys to go out and compete and not be able to do it because your body protector is out of date. So if you're looking to get a new body protector, then be sure to head to redpostequestrian.co.uk. If you want to know what body protector I'm currently wearing, I've actually been trying out the new Contour by Charles Owen, and I've got to say, that is very comfy. So if you're in the market for a new body protector, try it on, give it a try. Anyway, thank you again to RedPost for sponsoring today's video, and let's get into the podcast. So the other weekend, it finally was the time where, you know, Joey's been feeling really good. He's back in action after his injury. We're back jumping almost the height that we were before. So he's been going so well, that boy, that horse. This is kind of like one of those things. I feel like this always happens. The day that he injured himself was the day that we clipped him back in November. I think it was beginning of November that he had his injury. So obviously we're in March now. He's all good. He's back in action. So it was finally time. I was like, okay, it's time to clip the boy. He was getting rather sweaty when I was riding him. So it's time for him to have a haircut. So Joey is a really weird horse when it comes to having a haircut, because I feel like there are some horses, they don't like being clipped because they've either had like a bad experience or they're scared of the noise of the clippers or things like that. Joey isn't scared of clippers. Like, to be fair, he's a pretty bold horse as they come. Like, he's used to all the camera equipment and like my dad running around in him and I don't know, weird stuff like that. But when it comes to like clipping, he's the same when he has his teeth done as well. He's not scared of having his teeth done. Like, it's more that he just gets very easily distracted. I've actually had like a few different instructors and lessons with people, and even like the vets have been like, I think your horse has like ADHD, because he does not sit still or stand still. I guess a horse doesn't really sit, do they? But he just gets distracted and he gets bored as well, especially if he's standing there for a long time while we're clipping him. So the way that this is how we clip Joey, he doesn't need to be sedated, but what we do is we grab a Silvermoor Grasser Bix or Silvermoor Swinger, and we have one person at the head end, which is kind of like holding it. So he has somebody there to like pat his nose and stroke him and be like, good boy, you're all good. So he feels like he's got that human attention. Because when I'm clipping, if I'm just clipping him on my own, he's a bit like, why are you round my bum end? I want you round the front end giving me love. What are you doing back there, mate? So there's normally one person that's giving Joey the Joey attention. We call that Joey's emotional support human. And then another person is doing the clipping. So we sometimes do it as a bit of a tag team. So if I'm clipping and I'm like, oh, my arm's aching a little bit, or I've got all hair on me, I just need to, you know. Actually, I feel like every time I clip, I have to have a towel next to me, because it just, you know, when it goes in your face, you get pretty itchy. So I was clipping Joey, and it got to the stage where I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot to put my emergency towel next to, you know, me to, you know, wipe my face off or whatever. And I was like, Dad, can you grab me a towel, please? The only one that, like, obviously he could have gone back to the house, and I was like, don't worry about that. It's not that dire of a situation. So Dad went into the wash bay and grabbed this towel. Now, when I tell you, this towel has seen some things. I don't know how long it's been in that wash bay, but it's probably, like, been in between Mickey's bum cheeks. It's been on their, like, legs where they've been all muddy, like... I feel like this is like top, you know, you're an equestrian when you're so itchy when you're clipping and the last resort is the bum towel. So anyway, I did have a little look at it to see which area was the cleanest and I did wipe my face a little bit on it. That might be a little bit gross. To be fair, it wasn't that awful. It was a white towel so I could at least see where it was dirty, but... when your face is that itchy, you gotta do what you gotta do. So I had to use that horrible towel. So yeah, but tell you what, my skin recently, I've been on my old skincare routine. I don't know. Obviously, that didn't make too much of a difference to whatever it was because my skin's looking good. I'm not saying go out and use horsey towels on your face. That is probably not very sanitary. But anyway, so that was a bit of a funny story. Anyway, once Joey was all clipped, all happy, all good, I thought, you know what, like I normally do with my horses, he's been standing around for a long old time. I know that he wants to have a run. I know that he wants to have a roll as well, because to be fair, if I was clipped like that, I'd want to have a bit of a roll, bit of a shake around. So I thought I'd let him out in the arena. He had a roll as normal, was all good. And then, obviously, he was feeling a little bit fresh. He was feeling pretty good in himself. He also had the physio, like, the day or two before that, so it was just like double whammy, boom. Maybe that's how he did his injury before, because it was the day that he was clipped. So I feel like when nowadays, after this experience, I'm gonna make sure that once Joey is clipped, I'll probably in the future lunge him in a safe environment rather than just put him in the arena and be like, oh, he can have a run around, he can have a free lunge. Because he was zooming around, he was bucking. He also got very close to the fence, because I think that's where we were standing. So he was showing off a little bit. And anyway, he did this big old leap kick, looked like something out of the Spanish riding school. And anyway, as he leaped up and kicked out, he kicked the arena fence. Boom, the arena fence snapped. Also, I feel like... part of that might be because I think that was actually the same fence that I had my really bad fall on back in like 2020, where if you heard the story, basically I fell off Joey when we were jumping, landed into the arena fence, broke a rib, had a head injury. I hope I'm all good now. I think I'm all good. You know, you never know what happened when I hit my head then, but I think I'm all right. But anyway, I think it was the same fence, to be honest. So that fence was like, I've had enough. I've had Esme, a big old lump, hit me. I've had Joey kick me now. So the fence, obviously, it broke. And Joey was like, what? Who touched my leg? What happened here? He was very confused. So I was like, okay, calm, Joey. We're going to get you into the stable. But anyway, but I feel really bad because my dad was standing behind that fence. And as it kind of like splintered, obviously, the fence kind of like popped out. And it hit my dad in the chest. And apparently he has a little bruise around where his nipple is. So I don't know, that's a bit too much TMI, but I feel like on Esme's Country Life, you know, we have a very close relationship. We talk about funny things like that. So anyway, there's that. That happened. My dad is fine, don't you worry. It was just like a little bit of little fence splinter that went into him.
Really hurt.
You seem all right. You good? No blood was drawn. Everything's fine. but yes, so that wasn't great. The fence has now been fixed. I did, to be fair, I made sure Joey had his turnout boots on when he was turned out into the arena because I didn't want anything bad to happen. Obviously, something bad happened. So now I know if Joey is lunged, I either need to ride him or I need to lunge him in a proper manner. Anyway, so actually, the day after that, rode Joey, and he was a really good boy, really, really chilled, no spiciness, no, you know, craziness that you'd expect from a freshly clipped horse that's gone a bit cuckoo, but anyway, no, he was really good, so that is the Joey clipping story. We'll go on to the bum wipe story next, because this really sounds really weird, and I don't know, it's just a funny little story that I have for you guys. So a lot of you know that I've got my friend Dee from the Dynamic Performance Hub who comes over about once a month. So she's a physio, she's a trainer. So she like does Joey's back, she does my back. She's also like a personal trainer as well. So she gives me exercises to like build up my muscles. So then I don't have as much back pain because I'm actually using like the correct muscles and using myself, and makes me a better rider. So anyway, we had a really good riding session actually. Even this is also our first session back since Joey's injury. And she was like, oh my goodness, he is looking so good. She was like, obviously we don't want him to go out and injure himself again, but you know, he's looking good. Maybe having a little winter break wasn't the worst thing in the world. So you never know, might give him like a couple of weeks off, a month off next winter when weather's really horrible. We'll see. Actually, I don't know if that would be a good idea, because if he is a bit stir crazy, it might be a good idea to get some energy out of him while for me riding him. But anyway, she was saying how good he looked. She said, I think this is the best you two as a combination have ever looked. And that's our like first session back. So I was gassed. I was so happy. But she did like give him like a little physio treatment. And she was like, oh yeah, both of us, because we hadn't seen her in a little while, were like, she was like, yeah, you guys need, you got, I got, she did some work on her. She got a little, like little laser out. So she has this like really cool laser thing that she puts on like Joey's back and muscles, and Joey is actually very tight in his chest. That's where like we really need to work on and things. But anyway, so she used that on Joey, and then I had my back done. Now normally I have like an hour physio session with her, but before that I have an hour like personal training session. But obviously all the exercises and things I can do myself. I can go and do them at the gym, that kind of thing. Like I have a little program that I do that I should do more than I actually do, but I'm pretty good. I'm not too bad. I'm a lot better than I used to be. I was like, look, my back is not feeling good. I've had some back pain. It's not, yeah. So anyway, she was like, okay, I'll do your back first. And then we ended up not doing a personal training session. She just did my back for like an hour and a bit, 2 hours. I was like, that is fine. You do what you want. You do what's needed on my back. So she was like, I'm actually going to use the laser on your back today. Now, the thing was, she just used the laser on Joey. So it's the best way I could describe what it looks like is if, you know, like a roll-on deodorant, it's kind of like a little rolly kind of thing. And she obviously needed to clean it because she'd just done it on Joey. And we know horses, they like to lie down in their own poo and wee and mud. And even though I do bath him and clean him, like a horse is never perfectly clean, you know? So she was like, is there any way that I can like clean the laser or like wipe it off? Because she forgot. She normally has like baby wipes that she uses, or like anti-back wipes kind of thing to like clean them, clean the laser. Obviously, I'm not a laser expert. I don't know how these things need to be cleaned, but obviously she does everything up to the standards that they need to be. And it's my own horse, I don't mind. So anyway, she was like, do you have like any baby wipes or anything like that in your house? Now, me and my mum, we're very much like, I'm definitely a cotton pad and micellar water kind of girl when it comes to like removing makeup. I'm not really like a baby wipe or like a makeup wipe kind of person. I have really sensitive skin. You guys are going to be listening to me like, Esme, you literally used a dirty towel from the wash bay on your face. Why are you getting all like funny about using you know, face wipes? But I just find they break me out, or like they're just really rough on my skin. Like I am a sensitive girl. I'm yeah, one of those people where I'll just like come out in a rash or something like that. So I find, yeah, using a bit of micellar water, a bit of cotton pads on my face, that's best for me. So yeah, my mum's the same. So I was like, I don't actually think we have any baby wipes. I was like, I'll tell you what we do have though. We have some bum wipes. So anyway, in our downstairs toilet, you know, we have everything you need. We have all the lady bits that you might need in a downstairs toilet. We've got bum wipes, whatever your toilet needs. We got them in the downstairs toilet. So because as you probably have heard from like previous podcast episodes, if you haven't listened to this, one of my favorite ones, I think the funniest stories was, it's always with Dee as well, there's always something, was the story about when I accidentally flashed the postman. If you haven't listened to that episode, listen to it after this one. But anyway, so Dee went and got the bum wipes from the downstairs toilet, cleaned the laser and my back or whatever with them. And yeah, anyway, they were left out on the kitchen island on the side because she does like my back downstairs. And the next day, because it was a Wednesday. My mum works on Wednesday. So anyway, the next day, my mum actually had a friend round and she came over and my mum didn't realise that these bum wipes were on the side in the kitchen. So my mum's back home and my mum was so embarrassed. She was like, oh my gosh, why on earth are there these manky bum wipes on the kitchen island on the side? Because I feel like in our family, we're the sort of family where if something doesn't has a place or hasn't been put away, it just goes on the kitchen island. It just goes like on the side. So my mum was a bit mortified by that. And she was like, oh, that was probably Esme. And because she didn't know that I used them because of the laser and cleaning it and stuff. So my mum's friend probably now thinks I have some sort of bum problems or some sort of poo problems. I don't know. But yeah, so that was the story about the bum wipes on the side, which was a bit embarrassing. So there we go. That was a little interesting anecdote for you. I feel like there's been a lot about bottoms in today's episode. I really apologise. I know this is a family-friendly podcast, but it's just been one of those weeks. Anyway, next up, I thought we would talk about the new animals or pets that we have on the farm. So if you guys don't know, I have been an owner of chickens for many years. I had chickens growing up, then we had a little break from chickens. And then I got chickens again for my 18th birthday. My family were like, what do you want? You know, maybe like a nice piece of jewellery, maybe like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of what most 18-year-olds would want for their 18th birthday, but do you know what I asked for? Or 18-year-old girls, anyway. Do you know what I asked for? I wanted some chickens. So I got some chickens for my 18th, and a little chicken coop and everything. I feel like that is such an Esme present. Also, for my 10th birthday, again, another kind of funny story was all of my friends at that kind of age, they were like, oh, like I'd quite like an iPad or that kind of thing. I feel like that was when iPads kind of like became a thing, was when I was around 10, or like a tablet or like their own laptop. Do you know what I asked for my 10th birthday? A blue wheelbarrow. I wanted a new wheelbarrow. I wanted it in baby blue and had a little matching shovel and everything. Sadly, that wheelbarrow is long gone. It is deceased. It lived its life. It lived a hard life. I've got a lilac. I was going to say lilac. It was purple, but it's gone a bit sun bleached. So it's more of like a lilac wheelbarrow. So you never know. Might go for a pink wheelbarrow next. I feel like that could be fun. But yeah, there we go. That's the sort of girl I am. So anyway, chickens. Yes, back to the chickens. Sadly, we were left to one chicken on her own. Obviously, we gave her a bit of time to grieve. We weren't really sure if we were going to get more or if we were going to like give her away to one of our friends who she could go and live with some older chickens. Then we thought, no, we really enjoy having chickens. We love them. And I wanted to carry on having them. So we actually found this... I was going to call it a company. I think it's a charity rather than a company. It's called Fresh Start for Hens. So if any of you guys are chicken owners and are thinking of getting some more chickens, be sure to look them up because they do really, really incredible things. And I didn't really know this much about the egg production farming kind of industry, but apparently a lot of the time, so our chickens, actually a lot of people were like, why do you keep calling them X egg production chickens when they're obviously battery chickens? Now our hens aren't actually battery chickens. They were X free range chickens, and I think that probably actually will shock quite a few people because they don't look in the best state. They have like lots of missing feathers. They look quite skinny, but I think that's because they are actually quite young. So anyway, these hens are 72 weeks old, which isn't that old when you think about it. Like Mars, my chicken that I have now, she's 5. These chickens are like 1 and a bit. And chickens, I guess they can live for like 5 to 10 years, I think it is. Obviously, depending on the breed and all that kind of stuff and the life they've lived. But anyway, so they are still very young, but around that age, apparently their egg production rate drops off just a little bit. So a lot of the time, those chickens or hens are, sadly, often culled, which is very sad. So Fresh Start for Hens, they go to these farms and they're like, hey, instead of getting rid of all your chickens, we'll take them in. And to be fair, so we obviously like buy them from Fresh Start for Hens and... So that money goes towards the charity and towards like fuel costs of going and picking up all the chickens and all that kind of thing, and the people that like look after them for a little bit before you take them in. So anyway, our hens, I think we literally paid like £10. I think they were like £2.50 per chicken. And then they ended up giving us some bonus ones because they managed to take in a lot more than they were expecting. So at first we were only supposed to pick up like two or three. And then when we were there, they were like, yeah, have as many as you want. Like, we just need to make sure there's six left for this one. People that were coming and picking up six, I think. Because we were in the like last like time slot of picking up the chickens, because it's all very like efficient. You arrive, you pick them up, you go. You know, these hens have been through enough stress as it is, like being moved from where they've lived basically their whole life to being somewhere else. And anyway, so we have four new chickens, and at first we were a little bit worried that there was going to be a bit of argy-bargy, there was going to be a bit of, you know, pecking of each other, but actually, because Mars, my you know, non-fresh start for hen chicken, because she is just so much, she actually used to be like, I was like, you know, not really a runt because they aren't siblings. Well, actually, the new ones might be, you never know. But when she was with the other chickens, Miles was at the bottom of the pecking order. She was like the last one to get the corn and all that kind of stuff. But now she's the big mama. She looks so hench compared to the others, because obviously the others are younger, they're a bit skinnier. My family, one thing that they are good at, well, especially my mum, she is very good at feeding animals. So if you have any skinny animals, bring them to my mum. She will fatten them up. So anyway, yeah, they're all doing really well. There have been no fights or no pecking left. We can already start to see the others are coming out of their shell. There's one that's a little bit more reserved than the others. She's definitely a little bit more scared. She doesn't like to go away from the coop as much. She likes to kind of like stand on her own. She doesn't move around as much. So we're hoping that she's just kind of in shock at the moment through, you know, having a very different change in lifestyle, coming to live with us. And hopefully she'll, you know, do well and get better and that kind of thing. Because they did say that you might find at first they lay and then they might go through a stage where they've been through a bit of stress, where they might not lay for a few days or a week or something, and then they'll start to settle in and everything. But they're doing really, really well, apart from that one that's just a little bit more in her own little world. But no, they're doing good. There's been no fighting. One thing they did say that you could do is put like Vaseline jelly or like gel like around their beaks and face and eyes, so if they are pecking each other, it gives them a bit more protection. But there's been no squabbling, there's been no fighting. I think it's because we haven't had like one group of chickens go in with another group. It's actually just been one, and loads of friends have come along. So, and Mars is top chicken, so therefore there's no fighting. It's all good. It's all gravy. So that is going well. And I think I would love to rehome some more chickens from Fresh Start for Hens in the future. So if any of you guys are thinking of getting some more hens, please get them from there. Because at my grandma, she was very much like, oh, you don't want to get like old hens, they won't lay and that kind of thing. But even if they don't lay, I'm just happy to have some chickens and give them a lovely life. And we're going to hopefully, once they settle in a little bit more, let them be a little bit more free range around the farm, have a bit of a mooch about, that kind of thing. And, you know, they have been laying very well as it is already. And I'd love to definitely get some more hens from there, because it feels so rewarding. And it's lovely to know that they're going to have such a lovely life with us, living out, mooching about. And that's one thing that was actually quite good. At first, we were worried when rehoming them, because they are actually, as I said before, ex-free-range chickens. At least they knew what grass was like and what being outside was like, because our chickens are very outdoorsy. Like, they get to roam around the farm and that kind of thing. And I feel like that would have been a real big adjustment if they were, like, hens that were used to being in a barn and things like that, from going like all that shelter to suddenly outside. So that's another thing to think about if you are rehoming ex kind of sheltered hens. I don't really know what to call them, because I'm pretty sure battery chickens is illegal in the UK. I know that the UK does have some of the top animal husbandry or animal welfare in the whole world. So we're very lucky to, well, I'm very lucky. Don't know, some of you guys listen to this all over the world, which is very, very cool. But where we are here, I know that we're very lucky that our animals in the UK are treated better than others in the world. So anyway, that is our little chicken anecdote. I will keep you updated. I've been asking for names, so if you're watching this on a podcast provider where you can comment. Let me know some chicken names, because I'm going to put a whole YouTube video all about it out very soon. So you can watch the video, see the chicken, see the process of us, you know, getting ready for bringing them home, all that kind of thing, a little bit more information. But yeah, so I'm going to take in all the comments. Me and my family are going to go through them all, and then we're going to see what the chickens are going to be called. Also, we're still getting used to their like personalities. At the moment, it's quite difficult to tell which chicken is which, although I think it's going to get more difficult actually, because all the new ones that we've brought in, they're all like little ginger chickens, because at the moment I guess you can tell a little bit more by where they're missing feathers in places. Like, they do look a little bit scraggly. So hopefully it's going to be so nice seeing them get their feathers back and get a little bit bigger and stronger and fatter. So I'm really looking forward to that. So anyway, more chicken updates to come in the future. Oh my goodness, I need to tell you about this meal I had the other day, because I'm not like a Karen. I am not one of those people who will send like my food back if it's not good or I don't like it or it's cold or that kind of thing. Like, that is just not who I am. I am not that person. And I also like, I always feel really bad, especially people who like work in hospitality. I've had loads of friends that worked in hospitality and I have heard horror stories. I've heard how stressful and difficult it is, and like, you're on your feet all the time. So if you are working in hospitality, sending my love to you, because I've heard how difficult it is. But anyway, it just made me laugh, so I thought I'd tell you about this not so good meal I had the other day. So me and my friends, we all went to the pub together. There was a big old group of us, so that was really lovely. We all got to chat with each other, have a good old chin wag, a bit of a catch up, and I was really debating what I was going to choose to have for my dinner. I was debating between the mac and cheese, or the macaroni cheese, whatever you want to call it, and or having a burger and chips. Now, I feel like the safe option at a pub is the burger and chips. However, with the macaroni cheese, I read that it came with garlic bread. And if you ask me what my favourite food is, I think it's probably got to be cheese. I was going to say I'm a cheesy gal, but that sounds really weird. I promise I don't smell like cheese. But I don't know. This is one of my favourite foods. So I thought, you know what? Because a few of my friends were like, I think I'm going to go for the mac and cheese as well, the macaroni cheese. I was like, I'm going to have to go for that, because if not, I'm going to see your macaroni cheese arrive and I'm going to get jealous. I'm going to be like, oh, you've got garlic bread as well. So anyway, I went for the macaroni cheese. When I tell you, I don't want to sound like really horrible or anything, because I'm sure like the chef that was in the back, there was a lot of us, they were probably really stressed cooking away, but I was a bit disappointed. It wasn't even macaroni, it was like shell pasta, which, can't lie, I do like shell pasta. I feel like the best pasta though, controversial, the bow pasta, like where it looks like little bow ties, I feel like it just tastes the best. Or penne, I love penne, but like twirly pasta, I don't know, doesn't do it for me. But penne pasta, love that. Obviously, macaroni with macaroni cheese, that's what you're going to have. So at first I was a little bit like, oh, okay. And then I looked a bit closer and there wasn't really much of like a cheesy sauce. And you could tell where like there were dry patches, or like, because you could, I think they put a bit of mustard in it. So there were like some dry patches and some not so dry patches. And then someone had just like grated cheddar cheese on it. And I thought, I can't lie, I'm no Gordon Ramsay, but I feel like I could maybe have made a better macaroni cheese than this. And then I thought, you know what? My brother, who's a uni student, I think maybe even he could have made a better macaroni cheese than this. So I was a little bit disappointed, but we all had a good old laugh and it was really funny. But also, I was eating away and I was like, this ain't that great. So I didn't eat much of it, but I wasn't one of those people to send it back. And then I realised, I didn't even get my garlic bread. And I was so sad because a few of my friends had garlic bread as a starter. So I was like, it's fine. I was so hungry. I knew we were going to have a big meal. So I hadn't had my afternoon snack. And I was like, I'm so excited for this mac and cheese. And then, the garlic bread didn't arrive. So my boyfriend very kindly piped up for me and was like, oh, excuse me. The mac and cheese said on the menu it was supposed to have garlic bread with it, and there isn't any garlic bread. Do you reckon if we could have it, please? And at first, the waitress was a bit confused and thought we were just ordering some extra garlic bread, and it was all like a little bit muddled. But anyway, we got it sorted out. Everyone else who also ordered the macaroni cheese got their garlic bread in the end. Because at first, because there was quite a lot of us, we're all kind of like on different tables and moved around a little bit, which was nice. So we could like chat with people in between, like our starters and our mains and that kind of thing. But anyway, so at first we thought they were going to be sneaky and just give me the garlic bread and not give anyone else. But luckily, everyone got their garlic bread, which was good. But yeah, I don't know, I'm just one of those people, I feel really awkward and I feel really bad, even if, like, you know, the garlic bread was on the menu, I wouldn't want to say anything. I'm like, I know you're working really hard and there's a lot of us here and you're probably really stressed and that kind of thing. I don't want to put any extra pressure or, like, stress on you, and I don't want to be difficult being like, where's my garlic bread? But anyway, so, but no, the pudding was very nice. So I ate all my pudding. I had a brownie with custard. I'm such a custard person as well. Even if it's the summer, I would much prefer to have custard than to have ice cream. Controversial. I feel like custard is such like a very like British kind of like, oh, school dinner, sponge and custard. Oh my goodness. Love it. That was the best. Those were the days, especially like in the winter. It warms you up. Love a bit of custard. Talking about food. So I did something the other day that blew my mind. So I recently, as you guys have probably heard before on the podcast, that I like a hot chocolate every now and again. I'm not always a pudding person, don't always have like a dessert, but every now and again in the evenings, if I fancy something a little bit sweet, I'll make myself a hot chocolate. Now the other day, me and my boyfriend, we made like s'mores, and we roasted like the marshmallows on my little fire that I have, my little log burner, which is really cute. So it had all these like massive like big American marshmallows in my little, I have a snack drawer. I feel like everyone should have a snack drawer, but all of my friends also know that I have a snack drawer, which is great, because when they come over, I'm like, help yourself to the snack drawer, eat the snacks so I don't eat them. So anyway, I got one of these American marshmallows and I thought, you know what, my hot chocolate, I accidentally forgot about it for a while and I left it on the side and it got a bit cold, so I thought, I've just put it in the microwave to warm it up. And I thought, you know what, I'm gonna put one of my big American marshmallows in there, treat myself, that'll be nice, that'll be fun. So I put that in the microwave. Oh my goodness, I feel like this was a trend back in the day, but I completely forgot about it. Put a big American marshmallow in the microwave, because oh my goodness, they grow like, you think they're big before, they grow like double in size, they like inflate. So my whole mug, it was just marshmallow, it was massive, it was all poofy, it was all over the place, it was all filled with air, and I'll tell you what, it tasted really good. It also, because it was in the, I accidentally put it in the microwave for probably a little bit too long, so it tasted like it was like pre-roasted, like it'd been roasted on the fire, but you didn't have all the like burnt bit that you have to like peel off, which actually, I sometimes find, when you roast marshmallows, I quite like to just like set it on fire. This is definitely not good for you at all, but I like to set my marshmallow on fire, and then peel off the burnt bit and then eat the crispy burnt bit. And I feel like the burnt bit is actually sometimes the best bit. I feel like that's a bit controversial as well. People be like, no, it's the soft, like fluffy, squidgy bit. But I don't know, sometimes a bit of a crisp, it kind of caramelizes. It's quite good. That might be really disgusting. But anyway, so if you're ever bored, get a plate, put a marshmallow on it, put it in the microwave, and it'll expand. It'll be like, oh, I don't know if they still do these nowadays, but I remember I had those weird things that you would like colour in or draw, like maybe they'll be like clothes, and then you'd put them in the oven and they'd shrink, so you could do like a really cool like intricate design on them, and it would shrink, and like there'd be like, I don't know, key rings, that kind of thing. I just remember, I feel like that was like definitely like a growing up in the 2000s kind of kid kind of activity that you'd do back in the day. Oh, my dad says that apparently he had them as a kid as well. So shrinky dinks, is that what they're called? Shrinky dinks. Oh, there we go. Well, if anyone's got a rainy day and they're bored, get yourself some this is not an ad. Anyway, I just remember them being fun back in the day. I've always been like a very arty, crafty kind of person. But on that note, I think we're gonna leave it there. Luckily, we didn't end this episode talking about bum wipes or bum towels, because I feel like it's been, that's what today has mostly been about. So I'll finish it talking about food. That'll be something a little bit more classy. Anyway, I just like having a laugh with you guys, and I feel like it's just fun being open and honest and telling you guys these slightly embarrassing stories. I feel like we've become close together. Anyway, on that note, I think we're going to finish it there. I really hope you enjoyed it. Please tell me that I'm not the only one that has used a horse towel on their face before or in like a dire situation, because I was so itchy. I wanted to peel my skin off. It was the last resort, and I did use the clean side, so it wasn't the end of the world. I don't want people to like think I'm an absolute minger. Anyway, really gross. But on that note, I just want to say a huge thank you to Redpost for sponsoring the podcast. Get all your eventing, show prep needs. Now we're going into spring. But yeah, thank you so much for watching or listening to today's episode, and I'll see you all next time. Bye!